You're tuned in to Full Service Radio.
Full Service Radio.
Full Service.
Full Service.
Full Service.
Full Service Radio.
Welcome to Beer Me on Full Service Radio, broadcasting live from the Line Hotel in Adams Morgan, Washington, D.C. I'm your host, Sarah Jane. I live, work, and I love beer here in D.C. I've been in the beer industry for many, many years, but every week I get to explore the beer world with all of you wonderful listeners. Every week we'll have a different guest from different facets of the beer world, brewers, importers, bartenders, to help us explore this really fascinating and dynamic world. Whether you are new to beer or a seasoned professional, we will have something for you. I was given the opportunity to sit down with Donovan Stewart from Engine 9 Brewing Company in Tacoma, Washington. We recorded this past Saturday at Right Proper Brew Pub in Shaw in Washington, D.C. This has been pre-recorded, so have a listen. Welcome to a special edition of Beer Me Radio, not recording live at the Line Hotel as we typically do in Adams Morgan in Washington, D.C. We're recording Right Proper Brew Pub in the Shaw in Washington, D.C., so just nearby. I am very lucky to be sitting down with Donovan Stewart, brewer and head of sales of Engine Number 9 in Tacoma, Washington, Carl Crafts of Shelton Brothers, and Jeff Mello. I understand you're Yeast Wrangler.
I'm Yeast Wrangler for Bootleg Biology in Nashville, Tennessee.
That's an amazing title.
Thank you.
So I'm going to actually dive right in, and I really want you to explain all of that.
So we're a yeast company. We produce cultures for home brewers and for craft brewers. We try to focus on unique cultures, wild yeast cultures, mixed fermentation cultures, bacteria, and all that good stuff. Thing that's going to make unique beers. But we also want to focus on expanding the knowledge of wild yeast and the science behind that. So we have a project where we're trying to source wild yeast from every zip code in the entire country so we can understand where the wild yeast is, where it comes from, and most importantly, what makes really good beer. So that's our job, is to teach other people how to do these things, and then they can help us understand wild yeast too. And we can help them make better beer with unique cultures that are unique to where they live and where they're from. So we can teach people to make a beer with yeast from their backyard. That's our goal. That's what we're trying to do.
So like yeast terroir.
Yeast terroir, yeah. Yeah, beer war, for
beer,
sure.
Beer war. I love it. What areas have you kind of, like, something really surprised you? Like, oh, I had no idea this area had extraordinary yeast.
So that's the thing, is we're trying to build this database, and there's like 44,000 something zip codes in the country. So we're still learning the basics of this thing. I think one of the interesting things we've learned is that most wild yeast that makes beer is actually very similar genetically to brewer's yeast. So you can actually make really nice, clean fermenting beer with a wild yeast culture. Usually, as a pure culture, they make something similar to a Saison or a wit beer or a Hef. A lot of people assume it's all Brett. It's all going to be funky. But really, really nice clean beers, sometimes really lager-like. So if you want to make something that's unique and local, oftentimes it's actually very similar to a farmhouse beer, because that's how they were making their beers too. Because they didn't have pure culture, so they were just kind of working with whatever they had. Mm-hmm. And that's actually what most wild cultures are like. And that's something that was shocking to me at first, but now I'm just trying to spread the word that, you know, Brett has an awesome place in these kind of beers, but it's not actually the norm in wild cultures that we find on berries or fruit, trees, flowers, in the air. So it's a fun way to make beer that's unique but still familiar, I think.
We've got a wild culture that a homebrewer friend of ours captured probably 5 or 6 years ago now, and gave it to Shane, who's the head brewer at E9, and was able to prop it up, and we get it, been successfully putting it in barrels and getting it getting those inoculated with it. But we use it primarily for our base beer on a lot of wild fruited beers. Mm-hmm. And but we from time to time we'll just do a straight base beer, the Wild Tacoma, and it's some amazing, like, peach, stone fruit flavors. yeah, it's just it's a really incredible. It's a wild sack, a wild Brett, PDO and lacto in there. That the PDO is usually the first thing that drops the pH down on it to give it that tartness. So yeah, I mean it's pretty amazing thing. And awesome. Yeah, it pairs well with fruited beers. So
I mean, a lot of the beers that you are producing, you know, have barrel age, or they're fruited, or you're doing a lot of kind of old school styles. Can you kind of talk about the history of E9 a little bit? I mean, this sure. wasn't always the case.
No. Yeah, it's E9 opened in, or the brewery itself opened in 1995. It's the first craft brewery in Tacoma. The restaurant is located in a historical building that was the last pumper truck firehouse, horse-drawn pumper truck firehouse. Two guys, it was in disrepair, two guys bought the building in 1972 and turned it into the pub and restaurant. And then in 1995, they subsequently started the brewery. And that was just mainly to feed the pub standard beers at the time, you know, an amber, a brown ale, an IPA at that time, which was, you know, obviously a lot more English style. And then about 6 or 7 years ago, X Group Restaurants bought the restaurant, subsequently bought the brewery. And at that time, Shane got... basically, the main brewer left. Shane became the head brewer, and they basically gave him free rein to do what he wanted to do, which was push it more towards Belgian style beers. We still do a lot of IPAs and pales and things of that nature for the brew pub itself, but also for distribution in Western Washington. Thankfully, Shelton Brothers has been helping us out to get our beer out now across the country, which is great. So we have a separate barrel facility right now that's has about 220 wine barrels of different natures and about a dozen or so bourbon barrels. But we're currently in permitting process to do a little expansion with a little bit bigger brew system and hopefully a lot more room for bigger oak. It's basically just nice. Some fooders and whatnot. So.
So you're on a little East Coast tour right now.
I am. I'm on the tail end of it. Today is the last event at the Sovereign. Started in New York. Had an event at As Is, which is Lower East Side, Manhattan. Was able to cruise all around Manhattan and visit accounts there. Tuesday was at Spite and Dival in Brooklyn. Was able to tour a bunch of a couple of breweries and a bunch of accounts over there as well. And then 2 days in Boston, Deep Ellum and, Row 34, which is both just amazing, amazing beer bars. And then got in yesterday to DC and we had this event today at the Sovereign. So yeah, it's been pretty incredible. I mean, I couldn't ask for anything better. I don't think, you know, so.
And Carl, so I mean, with Shelton, it's always, you know, you guys are always really big on collaborations. I understand that you all did a collaboration with Trois Dames in Switzerland.
Yeah, we went out last year and brewed at Jordan at Trois Dames. Raphael had come by the brewery about 2 years ago, 2.5 years ago. He was in the Northwest to go to CBC when it was in Portland. Mutual friend of ours, Matt Storm, told him he should stop by Tacoma and check out E9 on his way back up to Seattle from Portland. And Shane and him hit it off really well. Jordan started his career at Jester King. You know, he's actually a kid from Texas, and he's just a really, really great guy. We also know Sebastian Sauer as well from Fright Guys, so we went out and made the trip worthwhile. We ended up brewing with him. Anders Kissmeyer and Jettel, formerly of Nagno, did 2 brew days in Germany and then spent some time in Brussels and surrounding awesome breweries and then worked our way down to Switzerland to brew with Jordan.
Nice.
Both of those guys have since come back. We have a beer right now called La Visiteur that Jordan came and blended with us out of our barrels last summer. And then we were actually able to take him... take them down to one of our main farmers. During the summer, they have a farm stand, and he was able to blend the beer and then take them down there, and he was able to pick the fruit that he wanted to put on it. So
wow.
it's a pretty magical,
pretty amazing beer.
Yeah. So
that'll be available at the Sovereign event today.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Excited for people to try that one.
Yeah.
Sebastian's been back over as well. He was, I think it was in July, he came over, and we did a three-way collaboration with Holy Mountain as well with him. That beer is still in barrels right now, so it should be coming up somewhat soon, and hopefully bottled and available. So.
Yeah, something I mean, not only do I appreciate the Shelton Brothers portfolio, but you know, there seems to be a definite drive towards collaboration with everybody, you know, kind of in that group. Can you talk a little bit about that, Carl?
Yeah, sure. I mean, I think one of the cool things, and we were touching on this briefly yesterday and today, that the company likes to endorse is collaboration, certainly. And, you know, it obviously helps that Trois Dames and Freigeist are in our portfolio, and we all sort of have this like mind of finding great beer and getting people to brew together and make more great beer. But Shelton Brothers has been really, really cool at finding the smaller places while they're getting going and growing and expanding and getting their name out to places that they otherwise might not have the means to do. So I really appreciate working for a company that facilitates that sort of thing and gets really cool beer to some markets that maybe they wouldn't get to otherwise. So yeah, and collaboration's a great way to drive that, is make it worthwhile, get them out, brew some beer, drink some beer. And
yeah. And I feel like the portfolio, obviously, of the beers they're bringing into America sit really well with the American breweries that they support as well. So it's kind of a great win-win, I think, for everyone.
Yeah, absolutely.
So
absolutely.
The festival every year is a pretty amazing.
Yeah, Shelton Brothers puts on a festival.
They put on a festival every year. It's usually over 100 breweries, I would say, something like that. It's pretty overwhelming in a way, but but it also, it's an amazing time. You get to drink some beers that you would not normally see over here, and that they import, as well as they don't specifically use all their own breweries, right? I mean, there was breweries in Atlanta that were from the local area, and
usually
from other distributors.
Exactly,
as well.
Yeah. We'll have we usually try to fly brewers or owners over too, which makes that festival perhaps a little bit different than most. It's just you're getting a Tier A extra from the man who's been making it for decades, and getting to talk to these people that really were formative in craft beer in Europe, let alone sort of the appreciation of old world beer in the United States. So combination of having these old school brewers pouring you beer, which is pretty cool, and then embracing the local amazing beers everywhere now, right? So wherever we end up doing the festival, we like to have breweries from that region at the festival and pouring. So it's a cool combination.
Where was it last year?
Last year was Atlanta.
Atlanta.
And Louisville prior to that.
And this year?
This year is still TBD. Mm. I wish I could go on record on that, but I actually don't have a firm answer. No one does.
Yeah.
We're working hard on it. We should have that set down in the next, hopefully, a few weeks, but if not, you know, next month or two. And
nice.
I have the track record of keeping in the South.
Yeah.
I'm biased.
Yeah. I know.
No, that's a strong move. So Engine House number 9 is, you know, technically a brew pub. You know, you have a place where people can come, eat, visit, kind of have an experience. Last week when I was talking with Greg Engert, we touched a little bit on the experience of going to a brewery or a brew pub and how important that is, and how a lot of the things that make it an experience are kind of not necessarily based on the quality of the beer.
Correct.
That's not to say your beer is wonderful. But I want to talk a little bit about what you all do to, you know, kind of make it a special experience, make it worth the journey, essentially.
Sure. Well, for the last few years, Shane has also been the beer buyer at E9, and so there's, I think, 24 taps right now, and only probably 8 or 9 of those are our own beers. And they've given him free rein in that aspect as well to bring in the beers that he loves. And and kind of promote the culture that we're trying to push our beer towards. There's a couple of really amazing beer bars in Tacoma, but E9 typically has like one of the best tap lists in town. Thankfully we have a really good relationship with Shelton Brothers, so we get a lot of really great beers from them. It's interesting because Tacoma itself, like I would say the general public aren't really into sours or saisons, which is fine. We still do IPAs and like Amber is probably our highest selling beer of our own.
Nothing wrong with
the
Amber.
Yeah, right. Amber, Belgian wit that we try our hardest to emulate. Allagash White as much as we can because Allagash isn't available anymore in Washington, unfortunately. So we try to kind of curate a beer list that is complementary to the beers that we make as well. I feel like we also try to draw people maybe from Seattle that are beer geeks that are wouldn't necessarily want to come to Tacoma. We try to get them in the place as well. It's right next to University of Puget Sound. So since they've been open in the mid-70s, there's a huge, it's just a local crowd that comes in. So anytime that's like the holidays, there's people that, used to come in the 70s that come in, that are in town, people that used to go to college right there. It's a pretty cool spot itself. The building is, has a lot of character to it. So we just try to draw as many people in. I was joking with somebody last night that our friends at Holy Mountain, they do bottle and can releases, and they're, other than maybe Fremont for their bourbon barrel aged stuff, they're pretty much the only brewery in Seattle that are in our region that can get people to line up, and like early in the morning line up for these releases. And it wasn't until we did it that we released a collaboration blend with Trevor from Degard that we actually got a line in Tacoma, and it was 12 people long. There was literally 12 people waiting outside. So they didn't check Google or whatever and see that the restaurant doesn't open till 11, but they were there at 9 a.m. like waiting for these bottles that there was plenty of. There was no like limit on the bottles, so it was like, I don't know. Hopefully it wasn't a letdown for him, but
I think I'm originally from Tacoma, so yeah. I know Don and Shane, but I think of like Tacoma as kind of being a really tight knit community too. It's like everyone wants to think of the Northwest as Seattle, but Tacoma is kind of like the stepbrother that people don't talk about.
And like I have no sense of geography for the state of Washington. How far? Where
it's
are
about,
we?
It's about 30 miles south of Seattle, on I-5. Kind of in between Olympia and Seattle. It takes closer to an hour now to get there because the traffic is so insane. But it's just south of Seattle.
So it's this like community.
Yeah, it's more like more working class. Mm-hmm. Like Don was saying, there's some universities there, but it's still just got this pocket of uniqueness, and the downtown area has gotten really revitalized too. And I think having this growing craft beer scene has really changed those things too. And so I think if people aren't knowing what's going on, it's because people don't know what's going on in Tacoma, really. So I think that's what's really exciting about E9 really kind of spreading its wings and getting out of the Northwest, is people can see there's a lot of really cool things going on that people just don't know about, but the beer geeks haven't gotten whiff of yet, but they're going to now. And it's going to, you guys are going to ruin Tacoma because everyone's going to know about Tacoma now. But
yeah.
Well, and Shane and I, we have like kind of an unspoken agreement not to ever really talk smack about any of the other brewers in Tacoma. There's a bunch of really great brewers and breweries, but they're none of them are really expanded outside of the city, which is fine. That's just the way it is. I mean, like I was saying earlier, like people in Tacoma don't necessarily, and this is an overgeneralization, but people don't typically have a taste for fruited sours or saisons per se, but we also have a distributor in Seattle that we can unload as much beer on them as they want, and it's gone. Like the beer places in Seattle just eat it up, which is great. And now that we've kind of started to expand with the barrel program and actually have a little bit more beer to go out, And hopefully with this expansion that'll be happening later this year, be able to supply places like Washington, D.C., Boston, New York. Still trying to keep it somewhat localized as far as the target markets, which is great. Shelton Brothers have great connections in all three of those areas. So we're not trying to conquer the world, basically, but we're definitely, you know, like
trying to get out there,
a little more.
Well, I mean, the beers that you're making are beautiful, but they take a lot of work, a lot of effort. This isn't, you know, you're not kind of hitching your wagon to some sour fad and kind of pumping things out as quickly as possible. There are some of these that take years.
Yep.
So what are we drinking right now? This is, you
this
know,
is
this
the,
is a great
the
example.
Duvu Monde. It's literally translates to Old World. It's Shane's, this is one of Shane and I's favorite beers to drink of ours. It's just a classic nod to old school Saison. It's aged in oak. We bottle condition it. All of our bottle product is bottle conditioned, cork and cage. This particular beer, we will rack out of barrels, and we'll fill the barrels, and then back blend in whatever's left, basically, of that batch of fresh saison back into it. Little beer de cooperage. It's just a straight, nice 6.8 ABV saison. We try to keep our saison bases in the mid sixes. We don't really like to push the alcohol levels too much. When we're doing our fruited beers, we really try to blend to the fruit that we're putting them on. We don't want to like take people's enamel off their teeth and burn their esophaguses. You know, it's like we try to keep things as balanced as possible. So we're not like getting out devices to figure out how we're doing this blend. It's all done basically on what we know the finished product's going to be. We've got a couple of farmers that we work with that are producing amazing fruit. So we were able to get the fruit beforehand and blend to it, knowing mm-hmm. like, all right, well, maybe the raspberries this year are going to be are sweeter than they were last year or something like that. And we're able to blend in that direction.
But like, what does that process exactly look like for somebody who has, you know, very little brewing experience or, you know, kind of just dipping their foot in the pond here? Like, just farmers show up with raspberry samples and you're tasting the raspberries?
The local farmer, Storino Farms in the Puyallup Valley, the owner actually went to high school with one of our owners. So they have a really great connection. So literally John will be like, text Jake and be like, hey, like, what do you have available right now?
Mm-hmm.
Like, what do you have a lot of that we can get? You know, we generously fruit our beers. It's somewhere around 2 pounds per gallon.
Wow.
And we're not working with huge volumes just simply because of the system that we work on. Typically, one batch of if it's a saison and it ferments in stainless and we're putting it down there, we're talking a 7-barrel batch. So,
mm-hmm.
We're just constraints within the brewery itself. We'll do a blend. So obviously, we have a lot of barrels that are full of beer right now, and we're able to blend per the batches that we put in there, and rack them out. We bring them up. We put them in a stainless blending tank, usually on fruit, whole fruit, always. The farmers themselves are like key to us, you know, doing some of these fruited beers. So it's really good relationship that we have with them. And I don't know. Does that answer your question?
That does. I'm sorry. I don't
think a lot of people realize is that the Northwest is just like a great place to be if you like working with fruit.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, living in the South, summers are brutal.
Yeah.
And the Northwest, it's just, you know, an embarrassment of riches for fruit. Like, people are literally locating their breweries now in the Northwest so they can have access to this great, great fruit options.
What
the hops.
Like Oregon is like the number one producer of pears or something like that? Or?
Yeah. It's just a great place to be when you're a brewer who wants to work with a wide range of palate. And like fruits, you know, you're looking for certain levels of acidity and all these kind of things that you get to choose from the best of the crops, for sure.
Yeah. I think the Jewel's actually kind of a good example of that.
We have a local farmer, Storino Farms in the Puyallup Valley. And then another farmer that's on the east side of the Cascades, which is the main mountain range that basically divides east and western Washington. And he's got a ton of orchards, Diamondback Acres. They're predominantly organic apples and cherries and some stone fruit. And so the Duel is a wild ale. It's a blend of 2-year, 18-month, and 1-year-old wild ale barrels. And we basically use Bing cherries from Diamondback and red raspberries from Storino, and kind of like let them duel it out in the beer. And it's a pretty awesome beer itself. It's a changing kind of beer that, especially when you bottle condition, you know, I mean, the draft is amazing too, but the bottle condition beer is really incredible too. So,
and to your point, it's just not every day you have that embarrassment of riches where you have these great relationships with farmers that are making unbelievable fruit.
We're really lucky to know them. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Pretty awesome.
Well, that is amazing. I'm sure that we will be seeing a lot of, E9 beers creeping their way on the East Coast. What do you think of DC so far? I know you've only been here for maybe 24 hours.
It's changed quite a bit. You know, I haven't been here in like about 10 years. Last night we went and had an amazing dinner at Hazel, which is right across the street from the 930 Club. And the last time I was at the 930 Club was probably about 12 years ago, and that neighborhood did not look like that. it was crazy.
It's
pretty gentrified, but I mean, it was like when you you know, I've been in bands my whole life, and that was the last time I was there. Basically, I was on tour with this band, and you like kept an eye on the van that was out front. You know, you didn't really venture too far around if you knew it was good for you. So yeah, it's pretty amazing. I mean, the whole East Coast, actually. We went and toured the production facility at Trillium in Canton 2 days ago as well, and that just like the haze craze just blows my mind. I mean, obviously everybody knows about that.
Yeah.
And everyone's doing it. You know, the there's breweries all across the Northwest and California that are doing, like, trying to emulate that same style, but they literally have built their whole business model around. I mean, they're doing some pretty amazing wild ales and saison stuff as well. But I mean, that facility was built on people coming and buying 4-packs of cans, basically, of hazy IPA cans. So,
absolutely.
So it's a beautiful facility for sure. Yeah. So,
what else do you have on the docket for DC?
We just have the event tonight, mm-hmm. Or today actually, at the Sovereign, which we're really excited about. We were able to go. Carl used to general manage.
Assistant
GM at Church Key. So we went to Church Key last night, and there's just
that's formerly the general manager.
Yeah. All right, but yeah, it's the East Coast is like some of the beer lists I've seen at these places are just it's just blowing my mind. It's just really blowing my mind. So
awesome. Yeah. Wait, now I got to ask, what band were you in?
Well, at that time I was touring with Ann Jewel Knows by the Trail of Dead. I worked with him for a couple years, basically guitar teching for him, and at one point got to play a small tour in Europe with him. But yeah, I mean, it's just I've been in a bunch of other weird bands that no one's ever heard of. We just cram into a van and hit the road kind of thing. Back before the internet age, it was. I'm an old dude, so let's just put it that way.
Well, thank you very much for taking the time on your whirlwind East Coast tour, and hopefully we'll see you again in D.C. I'm sure that we're going to see these beers. Definitely, if you are out and about in D.C. and you see it, buy it. If you're out in Tacoma, visit.
Yeah, for sure. If you're just coming to Seattle for beer, you should make the half-hour trek south and come to Tacoma as well.
There's
some other amazing beer bars and breweries down there too as well. And I'm glad I get to see Jeff.
Yeah,
like,
awesome.
I haven't seen him since Zwanzee Day, I guess.
Yeah, it's a random coincidence being in town at the same time.
Yeah. So,
where did you all do Zwanzee Day?
It was at a really small beer bar called Slow Boat,
mm-hmm.
In Hillman City. Ken Provost is a pretty big. him and Matt Storm at Masonry are basically the two biggest buyers of Shelton Brother products. So they battle it out each year as to who gets to do the onesie day. And yeah, Matt just opened a bigger version of Masonry, so I'm pretty sure that he'll get it next year.
Yeah, I think
I'm assuming. Right. I think it's safe bet. But yeah, both those guys are great to have in the beer community, really opening up people's eyes and minds to great beer. So,
well, check out our previous episode with Colleen Gillespie when we talk about Zwanzi Day. Check out our other episodes. This has been Beer Me, especially recorded at Right Proper in the Shaw. And we will see you on Mondays at 11 at the Line Hotel in Washington, D.C. Thank you all very much.
Thank you very much.
Cheers.
Thanks very much.